Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Remember, the quiet ones always have the darkest secrets. It's time to uncover them on Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring former prosecutor and defense attorney Eric Faddis.
Well, it's apparently going to happen. Coming this summer to a courtroom or a YouTube channel near you, Lori Vallow-Daybell, the attorney. Joining me to discuss is a real attorney, Eric Faddis, and former prosecutor. How the hell did we get here?
You know, this is pretty, this seems unusual to me. And the reason it does is because there have been competency issues with Lori Vallow-Daybell from day one. And competency is like, hey, you don't have it together enough to even stand trial, to even be a defendant in a case with an attorney who knows what they're doing handling it. And so we've gone from there to, oh, I guess you have the goods enough to represent yourself in this murder case. I think it's going to be a complete shit show.
Yeah, I would agree if this indeed happens the way it does. We're still plenty of time where she could change her mind, right, and get an attorney. But as of now, yeah, how did we go from that? How did we go from, we don't even know if she can stand trial to, you can be the attorney in a week.
Exactly. The thing is, criminal defendants do have a right generally to represent themselves. And so I think the judge had to sort of balance that right against, hey, is she mentally capable enough to exercise that right? And it sounds like the judge found, based on the standard, that she could do that. So now is, you know, we're gonna have Lori Vallow-Daybell up there giving an opening statement, a closing argument, and cross-examining law enforcement witnesses and stuff. And it's gonna be a lot more content for shows like yours.
The thing is, there's decorum, there's ways of doing all of those things in court that you have to follow. There's rules. You can't just like, I'm going to do cross-examination however I want. I can say, no, you will be shut down and stopped very quickly if you're not following the rules of the court. So we have advisory attorneys that have been assigned to her, Pamela Hicks and Robert Abernathy assigned. What role will they play in this? I mean, I know advisory is on there, but are these really going to be more so like, these are the real attorneys, and as soon as she starts screwing things up, they're going to have to kind of jump in and be prepared?
You know, in terms of what role they'll play, it'll be a terribly dissatisfying and frustrating one, because that they're not driving the ship. Lori Vallow's driving the ship. And so, they can whisper in her ear. They can say, hey, you can't do that. Hey, you should consider this instead. It's up to Lori Vallow-Daybell whether she wants to hear that. Usually advisory counsel is not authorized to take over the trial if something goes south. And so they would have to have Lori Vallow's permission to do that. It sounds like she is in no position to give that.
Could the judge at some point in this, if this thing gets going and Lori is up there representing herself and it's just a shit show, and it's just one thing after another that has to be corrected, can they declare a mistrial or something early and just say, look, this is not going to work. You can't represent yourself. You don't know what you're doing. This is not going to, you know, amount to a legitimate trial.
I'm not sure they can. We've seen other trials where defendants have represented themselves. There was one I covered on Court TV, the name escapes me, but it was a gentleman. He had sort of long, spiky dreadlocks and stuff, and he was pretty out there and cursing and yelling at the jury, that kind of thing. That didn't result in a mistrial.
No.
And so I don't think that standard would be met just because Lori Vallow-Daybell sucks at being her own attorney.
It's going to be amusing, and it does make me wonder a bit about the judge's choice in this to say, yeah, you can represent yourself. But, I mean, they did the hearing. What was your reaction? She was in court, and she was answering the questions, and in that moment of brief sanity. It seemed that she was competent. And then, you know, she goes on a phone call the next morning and, you know, and talks to her son and tells him that she thinks that, you know, that her daughter is behind all this, you know, and that it's a murder suicide. And now they're working at Costco in heaven. It's not. Yeah, I just don't know how we got here.
You know, it raises a question, at least, as to whether she is some kind of skilled chameleon that is able to go into court and at least put on the presentation that and meet this bare minimum standard that she knows what's going on, that she can, you know, take actions in furtherance of her own defense, that kind of thing, and then go and sound like a complete crazy person on the phone the next day. Is this all something that is... that she's aware of, that she's doing on purpose? Or is this just someone who kind of gets lucky here and there, and we're going to see her given a closing argument in her trial? I don't know the answer.
Does this give her good grounds for appeal?
I think it actually hurts her grounds for appeal, because there's something called invited error. And it's essentially like, hey, if there was an error in the trial, but it's something the defense invited, it's something that they brought about, something that circumstances they created, the likelihood of winning on that type of error is slim to none. And so it would have been better had she like asked to represent herself and then kind of acquiesced and said, okay, well, judge, if you're going to make me have an attorney, I'll have an attorney. And then argue on appeal that she should have represented herself. But her actually taking the reins, I think, makes her appellate chances much worse.
Well, maybe that'll be good. And then this story can finally have an ending.
Finally.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're in the thick of a true crime saga, every detail sinking in, and then, wham, a commercial about something you couldn't care less about. It's like being served a microwaved dinner at a five-star restaurant. But it doesn't have to be this way. Go for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today Premium Plus, you get uninterrupted, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that dig even deeper into the muck, and early access so you can brag to your friends. It's like ordering the secret menu at a crime buffet. So, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and savor every twisted detail without interruption.